don't know if you found it yet or that little poem helped, but hallelujah. Of course, you have to realize when I heard that I was living in Atlanta, Georgia, so they would use the word peach, you know, go eat peach cobbler. But it works for me. I still use it to this day. I'm going to start a new series this week based on the book of Colossians. If you've known me for any length of time, you'll know this about me, so it'll be review. If you're new here, then this will be revelation. I am not overly impressed with people's knowledge. You know, people come to me, I know this and I know that, and I'm sort of like, big deal. Especially when it comes to Christianity. To know something about Jesus really doesn't do it for me. But when people take what they know and apply it to their lives, I'm impressed. Amen? Now, I don't know about God, but I have a feeling, I could be wrong on this, that he's a little bit like me, or maybe I'm a little bit like him, in the fact that he's more interested in what you do than what you know. Amen. It's good to have education. It's good to have knowledge. But the Bible warns us that knowledge can puff up. Yep. Amen? I'm really interested in what Christianity should be producing rather than what we know about it. Sister, I know people, and I'm sure you do too. They know more Bible than I know. They can quote it in several different versions, but when I look past all that knowledge, all I see is a life that's all messed up. You know, God is in the business of taking what's messed up and unmessing it up. Amen? Christianity is not something we do on Sunday morning and go out and live like some booger-headed heathen the rest of the week. It is something that should become part of us and should produce something. Can someone say amen? Excuse me. As a basis for this series of teachings, turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 5. As many times as I'd read the book of Colossians, I'd never seen this word in here. Or if I'd seen it, it just didn't quicken. If I can get real spiritual for a moment there. That's what happens when you're reading. And also the Holy Spirit just enlightens something to you. You go, whoa. Did you ever have a whoa moment? Yeah, you're reading through the Word of God, and you go, blah, 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 blah. Whoa! There is something there that just grabs your attention. And you can't help but start thinking about it. You can't help but start praying about it. Verse number 5 of the second chapter of Colossians. Again, this will be the foundation or the diving board that we're going to leap off of here and into this teaching. The Apostle Paul writes this letter to a church, little-known church of Colossae. And he says some things that I think are really pertinent, but this one caught my eye. Verse number 5 of chapter 2, he says, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit." Now, I've heard that part preached a lot, but it's the next sentence that gets me. "Joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." I've heard the first part of that preached. I've heard the second part of that preached. I'm going to attempt to preach the middle. Many years ago, I met a man, a fellow teacher of the Bible, and he had a phraseology which I've picked up on and I'm really fond of. It's called divine order. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not going to concern myself today with what your basic belief system is about how the world came about. Now, if you want to believe a fairy tale, you go right ahead. But I do believe, no matter if you believe in evolution or a Big Bang or whatever you believe in, I think we can all agree on this much. You cannot look at life, you cannot look at the world or the cosmos and not recognize there's an order to things. Can someone say amen? I hear people talk about explosions. I hear people talk about all kinds of silly things that make absolutely no sense, Brother Dave. Imagine, if you will, I read this in a book because I'm not this smart, but I'll repeat the book. Going to the top of the Empire State Building. You ever see the Empire State Building? Big old building. With a basket full of parts. Getting to the top and dump it off the Empire State Building. And when you get to the ground, it becomes a fine Swiss watch. Just because the parts were there and it flew through the air. That makes as much sense as some of the other theories I hear about the world I live in. When I look at the planets, when I look at do you understand? I don't understand how many hundreds or thousands or millions or billions of heavenly bodies are floating around out there. Do you know they are going fast? And do you know they don't collide?
Hallelujah. People worry about asteroids and stuff. I don't care about asteroids. I'm trying to figure out, Sister Anita, billions of stars, hundreds and hundreds of planets, suns, and they don't hit each other. You can't get that going on here in Holmesdale doing 25 miles an hour. Hallelujah. And yet God, what's the word they use there? Intelligent design. Oh, give me a break. The intelligent designer causes all of these things to spin a lot faster than the speed of light, and they don't crash. Imagine that. And that happened because of a big explosion. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I've seen pictures of World War II when they dropped the first atomic weapon and the second atomic weapon. I've seen what massive explosions create. It did not create a new world. It did not create order. It created a mess. Hallelujah. Look at the human body just for a moment and think of the complexity. Anybody here who works in the medical field in particular, think of the complexity of the human body. To think that all of this just happened, the parts I can't even think what they are. The smallest part of the human body's got smaller parts yet. And it all works in a system. Imagine that, because we just evolved out of some slime. Well, some people still act like they're slime, but anyway. whoa, different sermon. I did not slide up out of a slime pit billions of years ago. I am here because the intelligent designer took a handful of clay, molded and shaped me, and then didn't end there, sister. I've been through many museums in the world. I've seen some beautiful art pieces, but ain't none of them breathing and thinking. Because this one, hand-formed by God, God said to me, breathe into his nostrils. Can you imagine, Sister Anita, ladies, think about this. I thought about this morning, so I didn't have time to do it. I was going to go out in my backyard, Brother Dave, with a bunch of baggies. And I was going to take a shovel full of dirt and fill each bag and give you all one, say, go home and make a man. I'm serious. I was going to give you a shovel full of dirt and a baggie and say, go home, and if you can bring me back a man from that bag, the contents of the bag. Anyway, my mind just went back 20-some-odd years to other bags and other contents. That can mess up your thinking, too. Hallelujah. I'm sorry about that. Had a moment there. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. Some of you are going, oh, yeah, I could, whoa. Yeah. Yeah, see, that stuff made me think I was smart, but my whole vocabulary, like the man said, was down to one word, wow. I was so good I could say it backwards, wow. Anyway, the apostle looked at the church. See, some of you are going there. See, the problem with days like that, you remember the good days. I remember some pretty bad days of hearing things that didn't exist and seeing things that weren't there and being all freaked out about it, okay? Hallelujah. You want to think about something? Think about that. Glory to God. The apostle could have said so many things about this church, but he was beholding and having joy because he's seen a certain order in their lives. Glory unto God. I'd said earlier, and I'm going to say at least one more time before this day is out, God is a God who takes things that are out of order and puts things in order. I want you to keep that in mind and turn back to the first chapter of Colossians. Glory to Jesus. I really haven't worked this all out like I like to do. God's been working on me lately to leave the notebook alone. It's not easy. It's not easy. You got to understand, well, I got notes. I got notes about my notes when I teach. Hallelujah. Poor Brother John was here last week apologizing for all his notes and saying, man, he ought to sit here a little bit longer and find out kind of notes I bring out all the time. Yeah. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I could preach about the next sentence, but won't. By the will of God. I'll just simply say, whatever you are it because God called you it. And I will say something I heard a wise man say one time. You are what God called you the minute he calls you it. Does that make any sense? See, we're still waiting for the second shoe to drop. You've already got it. Paul knew who he was, and Paul was who he was because of who he served. I'll go on with that. And Timothy's our brother. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are in Colossae, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just say something quick here. One of the good things about notes, I can stop and rest any place I want. Hallelujah. I really believe, say something smart out there and say amen, or I got to blow my nose. I know that's not nice, but it wouldn't be nice if I didn't. Hallelujah. I was speaking to someone yesterday morning. I think the church really needs to check its thinking once in a while. I realize that as Christians, we are not meant to be arrogant. I hear a lot of arrogant Christians. Well, good for you. But the Bible says we're supposed to be humble. At the same time, I am convinced, this is important, that we know who we are. We need to know exactly who we are. We need to know the authorities we've been given. We need to know the rights of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Paul, God love him, did not say to all those sinners saved by grace. He said to the saints. Now listen, I understand that we're all sinners, and I understand we're saved by grace. But you know what? After 30-some-odd years, I think it's time that I stood up and said, you know, I know who I am in Christ. I still mess up. I still sin. Sorry about that, folks. I hope I didn't fall from imperial status in your eyes. But I am not a lowly sinner just groveling along. I am a saint. I have been bought with a price. Jesus Christ gave his blood for me. He died for me. He rose again to make me a saint. Amen. Now, if you came from the Roman church, you said, oh, that's blasphemy. I'm not talking about a bunch of dead people made statues out of. I'm talking about people who are alive in Christ. Your sins have been forgiven. The blood of the Lamb has covered you. You are a saint. You have power. You have authority in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We need to live like saints. Quit groveling at the table all the time and say, I'm a child of God. I want to sit at my Father's table. Too many times a church is walking around taking crumbs from under the table. Come on, you parents, you know what I'm talking about. When you put dinner on the table, you don't tell the kids to sit under the table and take what's left over. You give them a chair at the table. Come on, sit down with me. You're part of the family. We need to have that attitude. Not arrogant, but sure of who we are. Hallelujah. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, wherefore you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, listen to verse 6, which has come unto you as is in all the world, now listen, and brings forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, for you, a faithful minister of Christ, who has declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Hallelujah to God. You know, I sometimes run into people, not as many as I used to, but I still run into people who try to convince me they're Christian. Now, I'm not supposed to judge that, but I am supposed to make some decisions. If you never heard that teaching, when Jesus said don't judge, everybody quotes that scripture. But you know, the word judge is used many other times in the New Testament. It's a different word. Jesus said, don't judge. He says, don't condemn. It's not my job to put anybody in hell. Amen? Not your job. You may not like the person sitting next to you. Don't look around. You may not like the... Gotta be careful when you say them things. You may not like your teachers or you may not like your family, but it's not your job to condemn them. However, the Apostle Paul says, being absent from you, I have judged all things. Now something's wrong here, or we're wrong in our translation. Jesus said, don't judge, and Paul says, judge it all. Are we Christians or are we Paulines? What is it? Different word, folks. The word Paul uses, I'm going to make a decision. When something comes my way, tells me it's Jesus and acting like the devil, I'm going to make a decision. Amen?
Hallelujah. I hate this thing. Glory to God. The gospel, the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, is meant to produce something, Brother Dave. Not just keep you busy on a Sunday morning. It's meant to produce a thing called fruit. You may have recognized the last few weeks, I've been running around here like a crazy guy shouting to everybody, "You're pregnant!" I actually got a letter from someone here the other day. I won't tell you who they are. And it says, "Dear Pastor, I am pregnant." It was a man, so I know it wasn't a true confession. Hallelujah. Hope not. Glory to God. But the point is, my remark had gotten into their spirit. Hallelujah. We are impregnated, if we're born again, we are impregnated by God. Now, how many knows that every fruit grows from a seed? I want you to turn quickly to the book of Genesis with me. You may have heard of a thing called the law of first mention. Well, if you haven't, let me tell you what it is. If you have, just bear with me. The law of first mention is a rule, a law used in Bible study. The first time you see something mentioned in Scripture, first time you see it in chronological order in the Bible, take special note. Because the first time it's mentioned, it's a principle that lasts throughout the entire Bible. In Genesis chapter 1, we have what I believe is the only true story of creation. Amen? I do not read here in the beginning there was a big bang. I do not believe here in the beginning there was a slime pit. What I do see is that in the beginning, God. But when you get down to, where is it here, Lord? I know it's here. Help me. I'll find it in a minute. Verse 12. I thought it was 6. Forgive me. Got ahead of myself. The Bible says in the first 10, 11 verses there that the world, the earth, was without form and it was void. Now, let me put that in modern-day terminology. It was all messed up. Now, the reason I know it was messed up, you see, the water was mixed with the land, the light was mixed with the dark. The reason I know that, because God separated them. Brother Pear, it only makes sense that he didn't have to separate the light and dark if they were already separated. They were all mixed up in there somehow. The land and the water was all mixed up. He said, separate, and they did. Many years ago, I was a brand-new Christian. So impressionable. And I remember going, I think it was Far Rockaway, if I remember, Brother Dave. But I remember on the very tip of New York State standing looking at the Atlantic Ocean. And as I was watching the breakers come in, it would come in, I was mesmerized by the power, hallelujah, of the surf, the power of the ocean coming in. And what made me more mesmerized, every time that came in, no matter, sometimes it was small, sometimes it was huge, it only go just so far. It stop and then retreat to the ocean again. And I was just blessed because that morning in my devotion time, I had read in the Psalms where he said, "He has set the seas in their boundaries and they cannot move." Hallelujah to God. And I stood there watching the Atlantic Ocean obey a command that was given thousands of years ago when God said, "Separate and go no further." Hallelujah. God took a world that was all messed up and he sat it in divine order. Verse number 12, the waters have been separated. The day and night have been separated. God said, "Let there be, behold, there was, and it was good." Verse number 12, and the earth, now understand, there was no grass. There was no trees. It was all mixed up. You see, when things are all mixed up, they can't bear fruit. When things are all messed up, they can't grow. If your life is stale and you're not growing, could be something's messed up. We'll get back to that someplace else. Glory unto God. The earth, God spoke and said, "Let the earth bring forth." The earth brought forth grass, an herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. That is called the law of the seed. Everything reproduces according to the seed it came from. If you want an apple tree, you got to plant apple seed. So some of y'all don't get that.
If you want corn, you got to use a corn seed. Amen? Whatever seed you put in the ground is what's going to come out. That's the law of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 12. Hallelujah. Whatever seed is planted, it will reproduce itself because the life is in that seed. You making sense so far? So the life is in the seed. Now, if you and I really are impregnated, it means the seed of God has been planted in us. Where'd you get that from? I got that from the Christmas story. It says that a little girl, minding her own business, had a visitation by an angel. And before you start worshiping the angel, hear the rest of the story. The story says the angel came to her and said, Mary, you are blessed. You are about to, and went on to tell her about what was about to happen to her. She says, but how could that happen? I have never had sex.
So I didn't see that in the Bible.
She said she never knew a man. Same thing. She said, I can't be pregnant. I've never done that. The angel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be with child. When the Holy Spirit, the angel left, the Holy Spirit came, and immediately, that's the word, immediately, she was pregnant. She was with child. The seed of God planted by the Holy Spirit of God inside of Mary. Y'all know what came out of Mary 9 months later, don't you? Help me out here. Jesus. The same thing happens to us in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes upon us when we're born again. When we give our hearts to Christ, our lives are all messed up. We're void without form. We're all bent out of shape. And the Holy Spirit starts working in us. The first thing he does is plant some seed. He separates a couple things. So that's what happened to me at the altar, Sister Karen. I went to the altar, and God had to separate a few things, the dark and the light and the dirty and the clean. He had to straighten that right there on the spot. But then the whole same Holy Spirit says, now it's time you brought forth fruit. And you know what? He didn't tell me that a week later. He didn't tell me a month later. It was instantaneous. How many know? How can I say this without getting in trouble? Yo, no, the moment you're pregnant, you're fully pregnant. Y'all know there's no such thing as a little bit pregnant, right? Either you is or you ain't. It's one or the other. It's the same thing. You're either born again or you're not. Well, they're almost saved. No. If they're almost saved, they're lost. When the Holy Spirit came upon us, when we repented of our sins, God put his seed inside of our spirit. We are impregnated, and according to Genesis chapter 1, verse number 12, the life of that seed will be reproduced. The life of Jesus Christ will be reproduced in our spirit, or the womb, so to speak. Hallelujah to God. Fruit is not optional. Can I say that again, or do I need to? Bearing fruit as a Christian is not optional. Paul said the moment you heard it, fruit began to grow. He said that's what he heard about the church at Colossae. So the moment you heard the truth, Epaphras and others, the moment you heard the truth, I heard about the fruit. Now, I'm not trying to put anybody in any bondage here, but I want to help you with something here. Christianity is allowing ourselves to bear fruit that's been seeded by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It's not just a belief system. It's not just a going to church on Saturday or Sunday or Monday or Tuesday, whatever day you go. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to get into the whole doctrinal thing. That's what it is that you have been prepared by the Holy Spirit to receive a seed. Hallelujah. I got to be careful. I got different things going through my mind here. But I know the human body doesn't get pregnant every time the seed is present. There are certain times the body is ready and becomes pregnant instantly. God gets us ready, folks. God gets us ready. And when we get to the altar, he knows we're ready. The seed is given to us, and we become impregnated. We are, at that point, carrying the seed of God. That seed will produce fruit, which is come unto you as in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit. This is not just for some people. The word of God, tell me if I'm wrong, this is what Paul's writing. So the word of God is in all the world, and it brings forth fruit as it does also in you. It's not just for them. It's not just for the folks down the church. It's not just for you and not the other church. It's for everybody who names the name of Jesus. Fruit. What is fruit? It's a reproduction of the seed. What is the seed? Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's turn real quick. Book of Galatians. Excuse me. Going the wrong way here. Galatians. Go. Eat. Hallelujah. Chapter number 5, I believe. Yes. Glory unto God. Galatians 5. We're going to be starting around verse 20, reading down. What did Paul brag about? What did he see? What did he hear about these people? The same apostle wrote to the church at Galatia, and this is what he wrote. He was talking about the bad things they used to be. I'm not going to list the bad things. We'll do that some other time. These folks were messing with adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, witchcraft, all kinds of stuff. But he says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now, do we need to spend time to say the fruit of the Spirit is that thing within you? You are impregnated by the Holy Spirit. You're impregnated by God. The fruit that that Spirit will bear is as follows. Love. We preached that a few weeks ago. But it goes on. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Goodness. Gentleness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with afflictions and lusts. Hallelujah. Now, here's what I want you to think about. The world in Genesis chapter 1 could not bring forth fruit until it was set in order. The first thing God did, if I'm reading Genesis chapter 1 right, is he began to set the world in order. The thing that was void, without shape, he put an order to it. And immediately, Brother Dave, as soon as the water and the land separate and the light and the dark separate, he says, bring forth fruit now. And the earth did. God expects us, because of his work in us, to begin to bear fruit. He's prepared us. He's readied us. The seed is in there to produce these things. Now, I don't want to give this to you as a legalistic set of laws. But here's what I want to give you. If for some reason you cannot find within your spirit joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, something's wrong. We need to take that back to God. Anybody here do any gardening? I know Brother Bob does. Anyone else do any gardening? In another few weeks, maybe you've started already, you're going to have to till the ground. See, every year when you plant a garden, you got to turn the soil again. And you know, Sister Kim, I don't always like when God decides to till me. Hallelujah. Anybody besides Bob grew up on a farm? You know what it means is to set the beam low on a plow? See, there's a couple forms of plowing. You can plow just kind of general across the top, right, Brother Bob? But when you got a field that really has been laying fallow for a while, and you really got to break up the clods, you got to set the beam real low. You got to plow it twice. And the second time, you're plowing real deep. And you're turning over dirt that has not seen sunlight in a long time. Hallelujah. There are times when just when you think God is done with the tilling process, he's done plowed you. He says, I'm going to come back one more time, and I'm setting the beam a little lower this time. I'm going to turn over things in you that has not seen the light of day in all of your life. You're not going to like it. But when I'm done, I'm going to grow some fruit in your ground. Hallelujah. God is a master farmer. God will turn the things that we've been hiding from him. There are certain, I got a friend who grew up in a farm, and he told me about a field he had. This is a true story. And it laid fallow for years. And they decided this one year to grow some extra feed for they were dairy farmers. And they went and plowed this field, and they plowed it one time like they normally did. And within a couple of weeks, there was this weird weed just overtook the field again. Well, they plowed it again. A couple of days later, a few days later, the weed was back. So they called the horticulturist. That's a fancy word for a guy who's smart about farming. And said, what is this? And it identifies, said, here's the problem. So the seed of that weed is deep down in the ground. And what they had to do, they had to go and set the beam low on the plow, Brother Dave and Brother George. And when they plowed it the second time, it brought all those dormant seeds to the top, and the sunshine killed them. The weed never came back. See, sometimes God tries to do a work in us, and we only let him plow a little bit on the surface. We don't want God to go real deep. And we wonder why that same thing keeps growing back. Because it's in there. The reason it comes back, it's in there. The anger, the frustration, the lying, the deception, it's in there. We have to have God, allow God to plow us again with a real deep plow. And I guarantee you, he will turn over things, hallelujah, that have never, ever seen the light of day. And when it comes to the surface, it'll be destroyed. Then the seed of God can go in and actually produce these fruits. So if we're having a problem not having peace, we just might need to invite the Holy Ghost to plow a little bit deeper. Deal with us a little bit stronger. Help us in this one area, Lord. Can someone say amen? Hallelujah unto God. Glory to Jesus. Verse 9. For this cause, also since the day we heard it, heard of what? The fruit. Heard of the change in their lives. We did not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, I don't know about you, but I know all prayer is important. But when I look at apostolic prayers, I pay a little bit more attention to them. Just the same as when Jesus taught the people to pray, pay attention to what Jesus said. When the apostle here prays, what's he praying for? He's praying for this church. Now, he's already heard of their fruit. He's already heard of their conversion. But look what he prays. He desires that you be filled with the knowledge of his will. Let me rest there for a moment. Of all the things we could be seeking God for, of all the things we could be looking for, when is the last time we said, Lord, what is your will concerning this matter? What is your will concerning my children? What is your will concerning my career? What is your will concerning what I'm doing? How many times, I'm not here to accuse, just question, but how many times do we just do things and say, okay, God bless it? Without first going to him and say, God, what's your thoughts on the matter? I am convinced. I'm going to have to quote my friend Charles Johnson. I am convinced that most of our needs for a miracle are the result of our own bad decisions. Hallelujah. If we took the time, I'm not saying we wouldn't make mistakes, because we wouldn't. God is really gracious about that. But I am quite convinced, based on my own 33 years of struggles, that if I was to spend more time seeking his will, I would probably make a whole lot less mistakes. And I wouldn't have all the bad feelings I have to deal with and all the fallout, y'all know what fallout is, from the mistakes I've made. If I was to ask, I'm always interested in this statement that says that Jesus never did anything he didn't see the Father do and never said anything he didn't hear the Father say. I'm intrigued by that. I have developed a very high level of open mouth and insert foot. I'm really good at it. My breath smells like shoe leather most of the time. Hallelujah. Because I just don't think ahead. I teach children all the time, think before you act. Like, why don't I do the same thing? Hallelujah. I'm not talking to this child with my foot miles there. Why don't you try to think before you act? Hallelujah. I don't know where I was going with that. Oh, yes, I do. This was the prayer of the apostle. The apostle could have prayed many things. I really believe the apostles had as we do, we have authority. I'm going to talk about that. Brother John shared that with us a few days ago. We have an authority that we need to use. We have keys to the kingdom to get that authority, and we'll talk about that. But if we use our authority, if we use our power, we use our energy to seek the will of God, and you got to love the second part of the sentence, and all wisdom, they're smart. And then there's wise. The two are not necessarily the same. They can be, but not necessarily. I know a lot of smart people. I grew up with smart people. Hallelujah. If you didn't think they were smart, all you had to do was ask them. They tell you. They're humbly smart. They're proud of their humility. But they were as dumb as dirt when it come to common sense things. I worked out with a guy. Gene, if you're out there listening to the internet, this is you. He taught me a lot about health and fitness and all that stuff. The guy was smart. He got his bachelor's degree in less than 2 years, his master's in a few months. He was a certified genius who couldn't change the tire on his Volkswagen. He was big enough he could have picked it up and carried it home, but he couldn't. He had no common sense. I remember being in New York City. Amazing the things you remember standing up here. My wife, well, she was someone else's wife, but my wife was with me. Hallelujah. And we were looking for a place, and we were close, and we wrote, I don't know if you ever done this, probably shouldn't ask for directions in New York City. But I'm looking for someone I can ask, and there was three nuns along the side of the lot. So I was like, well, that's probably about the safest it's going to get. So we rolled down the window and asked this nun where this place was, and my friends in the back seat rolls the window down. After she gives us directions, are you telling me the truth or are you lying to me? I said, oh, man, there is no wisdom in that. My God. Anyway, that was one of the nicest things he did. Pray that you would have knowledge of his will, wisdom, and spiritual understanding. Hallelujah. You know, spiritual understanding is something we probably don't talk about quite enough. If we're going to seek God for things, don't seek him for gifts. Matter of fact, the Bible says seek the better gifts. Perhaps, one thing we should be asking God for is spiritual understanding. How does that thing really work in your kingdom, God? Yeah, I got to tell you right up front, and I think you've got this figured out. If not, learn it. God's a whole lot smarter than me. Oh, by the way, than you too. God has ways of getting things done. He has systems that make no sense to me at all. I don't know about you, but it makes no sense to me to send my only son to be brutally murdered, hung on a cross, bled out, shoved into someone else's grave for the likes of me. That makes no sense. But God, in his spiritual understanding, knew that that's what it was going to take to set the likes of me free. Makes no sense. Makes no sense the way God thinks. I heard an English teacher one time says, it's almost as if God has lost his mind. No, God ain't never lost his mind, but me and him just aren't on the same pathway sometimes. I just don't get it. If we're going to be praying, this is what the apostle prayed for the church. So I pray that you have spiritual understanding. You know God's will. You have wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, can you see how those three things should work together? Some of us find out what God's will is, and we run out to try to do it. No wisdom in that. You know, God says, well, you know, I've called you to be a minister. Yeah, thus saith God, I'm a minister. I'm the right reverend whoever, and I'm a Mr. Know-it-all. No wisdom. No spiritual knowledge. All mouth. Sounds like me a little few years ago. Hallelujah. Don't you laugh now. Hallelujah. Now, there's two ways to get wisdom. You can live a long life and hope you get some before you die. Because there is a certain wisdom that comes with age. Or I should say, and, be in prayer. Pray the prayer of the apostle. Lord, I need to know your will. I need to know the wisdom of how to get that accomplished. And I need to have the spiritual understanding of what's going on around me. Many of the things we fight against turn out to be the hand of God. Do you ever notice, all you intercessors, let me have your attention for a moment here. If you are binding and loosening, and it still has not went away, chances are you're fighting against God. Hallelujah. So many times we try to bind what can't be bound. We try to loose what can't be loose. We want to crucify something. We want to repent of something. We get all mixed up. You can't crucify the will of God. Some things happen in our lives that are inexplainable. They are not happy things. But in the big picture, they make sense. Hallelujah. I'm going to end with this verse. Actually, the next. Boy, he writes long sentences. Wow. This is about six verses in one sentence. Paul sure didn't know how to write sentences. Anyway, I'm going to go in verse 10. He said, I pray for you that you have these three things, knowledge of his will, wisdom and spiritual understanding. Here's the reason of verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Here comes our word again. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I'll stop there. There's a colon, or was it a semicolon there? Semicolon. He said the reason we need to pray and have these three things. Now, this is something that's going to blow some of you grace people right out of the water. That you might walk worthy of the Lord. I'm not going to try to tell you, because it would be a lie, that you have to earn your salvation. It's free. It's through grace, through belief in Christ. But once it is secured for us, there are some expectations. Hallelujah. You know, whenever I've preached this thing in the past, I haven't preached this in probably 10, 15 years. I've been told that's legalism. No. This is Christianity. There are expectations, sister over here, Jesus, the word responsibilities. We have, that's not a word we like to deal with today. We have parents and teachers and students. The word responsibility just does not mean anything to people today, Brother Dave. Well, I'm just going to do what I want to do. No. This is what you're supposed to do. Oh, no, don't throw that on me. God threw some things on us. He says you need to have those three things. Okay? The apostles speaking for God. So I'm praying three things for you. Someone help me out. What are they? Verse 9, filled with the knowledge of his will, all wisdom, spiritual understanding. Okay? I want you to say that out loud, because I don't want you to hear me say it. I want you to hear yourself say it. First one is knowledge of his will, filled with the knowledge of his will, all wisdom and spiritual understanding. If the Apostle Paul prayed that for the church of Colossae, perhaps we can pray that for ourselves here in Honesdale. For the reason of, we can walk according to the ways that God wants us to walk. Now, when I'm saying walk, I'm not talking like this. Or like this. Or you go down the street, they're like, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about walking means a lifestyle. How do we order our lives? How do we live our daily lives? How do we treat our children? How do we treat our parents? How do we treat the government? How do we work for our boss? How do we walk? We need three things to walk in a way that's worthy of the calling of being a Christian. You see how I just turned that word, that walk worthy of the Lord. How many here is a Christian? Let me play with you a second. How many is a Christian? Do you know what the word means? Little Christ. It means, it was a word of mockery. But I believe it was the Athenians. When they saw all the people, I may have the wrong city, but they saw all the people, look at the little Christs. It's the first time the word Christian, there was something about the people. They were imitating in their lives Jesus Christ. And the people mock them. Oh, look at them. They're trying to be like Jesus. Yeah, that's it. Amen. Pretty much, that's it. I want to be charged with trying to be Christ-like. Oh, you're trying to be like Jesus? Yeah, that's it. Amen. It's not my life plus Jesus. It's Jesus and nothing else. If there's anything room left over, you can add that on to your life. We need those three things. Hallelujah. I promise I'd quit and I will. Three things. Knowledge of his will, wisdom, spiritual understanding. Those are the three things the apostles said we need if we want to walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing.
know what pleases the Lord's in the next part of the sentence? Being fruitful. Producing what God wants us to produce. Now, let me just say something about that in closing. Not everyone in the garden is the same vegetable or fruit. Now, there are some people, I've seen big old fields out in the Midwest, places, acres and acres, miles and miles of one crop. But most of y'all here, when you do plant a garden, you plant a bunch of different things. Amen? It shouldn't surprise you to go to your tomato plant and find tomatoes. It shouldn't surprise you to go to your corn stalk and find corn. That's what you planted. Amen? Your tomatoes should never strive to be corn. And your corn should never be upset because they're not tomatoes. Now, I know that sounds silly and foolish, but we do that as Christians. Well, he's got that gift. Why don't I have that gift? Because you don't. That wasn't the seed that was planted. It's not what grew in you. You have gifts that I don't have. Well, it may not make any sense now, but I guarantee you, some night this week when you're eating your dinner, you're going to take a big spoonful of mixed vegetables and go, I get it. Not everything in that spoon is the same thing. They all came from seed. They all have their distinct flavor. They all have their distinct color. They have their distinct nutrients. The word here is distinction. People say, oh, you Christians, you're alike. Oh, no, nothing even close. We're as diverse as you can get. Hallelujah. I had a friend of mine one time talking about the Pentecostal church. He said, we're a bunch of granola bars, fruits, flakes, and nuts. And I thought about it. I said, pretty much. God calls us together and makes us into a big old granola bar. Bringing nutrition and anyway. We're not all the same. We're not supposed to be the same. Bringing fruit, and I got to say this, in every, someone say every good work. People say, oh, I'm not judged by my works. I didn't say you were, but you are predestined, I'll give you that scripture next week, to do good works. God saved us. He took our lives, which is without form and void, put order to it, planted his seed, nurtured us, that we can bring forth fruit, and the fruit of that is good works. Jesus went around doing good. Maybe someone should have told him that was legalistic. No, that's our example. Our job is to seek those three things. One more time in closing. Knowledge of his will. All wisdom and spiritual understanding that we can walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, bringing forth fruit, or excuse me, being fruitful in every good work. Let's bow our heads. Hallelujah. I haven't planned how long this is going to be. We only got to verse 10. We're going to find as we go through the book of Colossians that God in this book has set divine order for every aspect of our lives. I challenge you to read it next week. Read about how Jesus took our sins and nailed them to the cross. Read about how he took the enemy and brought him to an open shame. Hallelujah. And find out what that open shame, that finished work of Calvary, actually is accomplishing in our lives. Fathers, we leave this place today. I pray you'll make us aware that as Christians, you have the right to expect some things from us. And Father, cause us to be joyful that I'm being changed. We are being changed from what we used to be to what you intend us to be. Our lives are getting better. Our marriages should be getting better. Our careers should be getting better. Anything that we've given to you should be improving. And Lord, help us to be humble enough to say, I need a little help here, and I need a little help there. Lord, I'm not quite as long-suffering as I should. I'm losing my temper way too fast. Lord, till my ground a little bit. The seed's in there, but till the ground a little bit. Sometimes got to throw a little manure on it too. Got to have a little nutrients. Hallelujah. So when you find yourself in a nasty place, just remember it just might be fertilizer. Father, cause us to be fruitful unto all good works and everything at all times. Use our lives, Lord. Change us, rearrange us, cause us to grow. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's stand to our feet.